or EasyJet or any airline in the world. If you ran Continental, if you were the CEO, if you were Gordon Bethune, what would you want to look at in terms of trying to figure out if Continental was achieving its goals of flying passengers around the world? Well, if you look at the Continental's key predictive indicators, they use three. They use on-time performance, because it's very important for passengers to make their connections. If airlines don't get people on time, they miss their connections, they get very unhappy and they never return. I just had that experience yesterday in Madrid, flying to Frankfurt. I missed my connection in Frankfurt to San Francisco, which would have seriously blown this phone call tomorrow if I would have had to stay the night. Luckily, my airline got me on another flight. But on-time performance is absolutely critical. So is not losing the passenger's luggage. And the third KPI in the airline industry are customer complaints. Why did the customer complain? Did we fix the problem? Did we fix the customer? Is the customer happy? So the customer hopefully will come back. These three KPIs are so well verified by empirical evidence that, I mean, at least in our country, and I believe in yours too, the government actually lists them on their website, so you can compare your airline to the competitors. Now, these also have been proven to have significant correlation, and if you talk to people in the airline industry, causation of airline financial performance. In other words, these three indicators are the critical success factors for an airline. If they don't do these three things, their income statement, their P&L is going to be in the red, because the customers aren't going to be happy and they're not going to come back. Now, if you look at all the things, folks, think about it, all the things that an airline could measure, think about it. I mean, it's mind-numbing how many measurements they could have, but these are the three that matter. These are the three that have been distilled to have causal or at least a correlative relationship with profitability. That should thrill us, because now we only have to have everybody focus on these three things. And if you look at these three indicators, I really want you to take a hard look at them, because most of you I know are accountants. They never show up on a financial statement. You'll never see any of these on a financial statement, yet they drive the financial performance of any airline worldwide. And that's what makes them so critical. They define the success of the airline the same way the customer does. That's a key distinction and definition of a leading indicator and a predictive indicator at that. Every one of Continental's employees can affect these three KPIs every single minute, every flight. If you talk to the baggage handler of an airline about the load factor or the revenue per passenger mile or cost per passenger mile, they're not going to care about that. That's kind of out of their control. But boy, can they influence lost luggage. And boy, can the pilots influence arriving on time, and so can the flight attendants. Probably the only people that can't have any influence on these three KPIs are the accounting department, because we tend to be historians with bad memories working on lagging indicators. So let's just take another look at this. Let's take a look at FedEx, just to give you another example. I mean, I could give you examples of this all day, but what does FedEx look at? What are their measurements? What's important to FedEx? Well, if you take a look at what they measure, they have a thing called the FedEx Service Quality Index, or SQI. Fred Smith, the founder, came up with this hierarchy of horrors where he said, what are the worst things we do to our customers? I mean, what really frustrates them? And it's all these things. I'm not going to go through these. I mean, they're very self-explanatory. If you've ever shipped a package with any delivery service, these are the things that will really upset you as a customer. Well, Fred Smith said, If we can't improve better than 95%, that means 5% of the time we're doing one of these problems to our customers. And so we're upsetting about 150,000 customers every single day since they transmit 3 million packages every single day. If they blow 5% of them, that's 150,000. Well, it's really 300,000, because somebody's always shipping to somebody else. So you're really upsetting two people at that point. And he said, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that eventually we're going to upset everybody in the world. He said, we have to get better than 95%, because in the past they thought that was cost prohibitive. But they said, well, look, if we measure the right things, guided by this theory, this hierarchy of horrors, and this is a theory, You consider how many things FedEx could measure, but this is what's important to the customer. Once they started measuring these and focusing on these, and boy, do they focus on this. You would not believe it. I mean, I've taken a tour of their Memphis hub, and there is a war room in the middle of their facility where they are dealing with problems in real time, rerouting planes, rerouting trucks, shifting capacity, all these different things that they do because of weather and all the other things that can happen in this business. They have got this index up to something like 99.996, whatever it is. It's just an astonishing record. It's because every single day they're measuring this SQI, and they're also performing after-action reviews. Why did we screw up? How could we do it better next time? Largely, I think, because Fred Smith used to fly planes in the war, so he's very familiar with after-action reviews because the pilots use them. So this is the FedEx Service Quality Index. Let me show you this quote from Gordon Bethune. This is the CEO of Continental Airlines. He wrote this fantastic book. I would urge all of you to read it, especially those of you who are leaders in firms, called From Worst to First. Continental was literally the worst airline in the skies, at least in the States. I mean, it had the worst on-time performance record. It lost people's luggage left and right. Business people were defecting. It filed bankruptcy twice in a decade. It had all sorts of problems. He came in and he focused the entire airline on those three indicators. And he said, look, if we rank number one or two on those indicators, he said, you're all going to get bonuses. And the bonuses were small. They were like $75 or $100. But it coalesced everybody to focus on the right things. They started measuring and caring about what the customer cared about, not what they could do to shave a penny here or save costs here. He said, look, he said, you can make a pizza so cheap, nobody wants to eat it. And you can make an airline so crappy, nobody wants to fly it. He said, it's not our job to reduce costs. He says, it's our job to put out a product or service that's valuable that people pay us a profit for. So by focusing on what the definition of success from the customer standpoint, he was able to turn Continental to one of the finest airlines in terms of profit performance and customer happiness and all of that. And I really encourage you to take a look at this book. Give you a couple quotes from this book, just real quick. He says, because these are key, when we're looking for goals for an entire company, we make sure our employees know what we're going for, to get the planes in on time, not to aim for a certain return on investment. Goals such as ROI, debt ratios work fine for accountants. But when it concerns the whole company, we need a company-wide goal, something that employees can immediately identify. And there is no ambiguity about those three KPIs. Everybody understands them. Then he said this. This is one of the most common problems in businesses. Businesses fail because they want the right things but measure the wrong things, or they measure the right things in the wrong way so they get the wrong results. Remember, define success the way your customers define it. Folks, that's the most eloquent statement I've ever seen on the importance of measuring what matters. And that's the whole concept. Rather than looking at the results, which is all the measurement does, by tying a measurement to a theory, it forces you to focus on the means that produce the result. It's like looking at these four guys playing poker. If all you knew about this poker game was that player A won 70% of the time, and player B won 10% of the time, and player C won 10% of the time, and the other guy won 10% of the time, what conclusions could you draw from that result? Well, you might say, look, player A's a cheater, right? He stuffs aces in his pockets. Or you might say, well, hey, the other three guys have terrible poker faces, or player A's just a superior player, or player A's incredibly lucky. But you can't draw any of those conclusions without having some type of judgment about the game itself. Is there coercion in the game? Are people playing voluntarily? You know, all of these other things that you can't get from simply looking at the measurement, the result. You have to look at the means. Now, just real briefly, this is well documented. If you take a look at a book called Relevance Lost, H. Thomas Johnson and Robert Kaplan, the reason I'm showing this book is not because it pertains to what we're talking about, but it's to illustrate these two guys. H. Thomas Johnson's an accounting professor here at Oregon University. Robert Kaplan is the guy who basically went on after they wrote this book to develop the balanced scorecard. Well, these two people, these two friendly co-authors, have not spoken to each other in over a decade now, because they have a serious disagreement about the future of business. John Kaplan believes in the balanced scorecard, which are KPIs, key performance measures. Johnson believes in what's something that he calls managing by means. And the contrast between these two thinkers, and I have tremendous respect for both of them, just let me say that. Kaplan, if you've ever read the Balanced Scorecard, David Norton, Kaplan, Harvard Business Review, they're all over this. You can read all sorts of books on the Balanced Scorecard. Balanced Scorecard is managing by results, because it's basically saying, look, if you measure the right things, we can change them. It's basically the McKinsey maxim. What Johnson is saying in his book, Profit Beyond Measure, is something very different. He's saying, no. It's not the measurement. It's not the result that you should be looking at. It's the means that gets you to the result. So his book studies Toyota. Now, I said this at a SEMA conference over there last year. Toyota is so adept at pricing and using price-led costing and doing after-action reviews and all the other things they do as part of the Toyota production system that they do not have a standard cost accounting system. Johnson studies that in detail and tells you how they do that. And they do it by looking at the means. This is why they let their workers shut down the line. This is why they let their workers think, contribute ideas to make things better. They're focused on the means rather than the measurement. It's an enormous difference, folks, and I can't do it justice on this phone call, but it's really something I want you to investigate and think about. I think both of these authors have tremendous amounts of insights to share, but I am so... I find Johnson's argument far more compelling than I do Kaplan's. I think Johnson's onto something here. I think it's embryonic, but I think he's definitely onto something. And this is why, one of the reasons I wrote my book, Measure What Matters. The Scottish have a fantastic proverb that kind of sums up the difference. You don't make sheep any fatter by weighing them. And now, what does all this mean for an accounting firm? Well, think about what a timesheet is. A timesheet is nothing but a lagging indicator. That's the last thing we need in an accounting firm, is another lagging indicator. We have all sorts of lagging indicators, financial statements and all this stuff. They don't help us change anything. They don't help us make better, smarter decisions in the future. They don't help us peer into the future and predict success like the airlines' KPIs do. If we were to construct KPIs for an accounting firm, this is what I want you to think about, because I'm not sure, I can't give you the answer to this, because we're not like the airline industry. The airline industry is great because it's kind of homogeneous. I mean, all passengers that fly want the same thing. They want to get there on time with their bags. That's not necessarily true for customers of an accounting firm. But different customers want different things from their accountant. They have different levels of hand-holding, different levels of detail. So your KPIs are going to be different. Small firms are going to have different KPIs than big firms, and firms that only do tax would probably have different KPIs than firms that do tax and audit. This is why we can't come up with, what they call the triple crown criteria of the airlines. I wish I could. It's not that simple, though, since so many firms are so diverse. But what we can do, and what I want to do today, is I want to provoke your thought and say, okay, let's use Fred Smith's hierarchy of horrors. What are the worst things that we do to our clients in an accounting firm? Now, this is a survey from CPAs in the States, but it's just as relevant from the data I've looked at in your country from your professional bodies about why chartered accountants and certified accountants lose clients. Look at these reasons. My accountant just doesn't treat me right. I mean, that's 68% of the time why we lose clients. We ignore them. We fail to cooperate. We let partner contact lapse. We don't keep them informed. We assume they are technicians. We use them as training ground for new team members. These are the things that upset clients. This is the antithesis of a successful relationship from the customer's point of view. Now, if we turn the coin around and say, okay, but why do people hire accountants and why do they stay with accountants, and I would say recommend accountants, your interpersonal skills. Folks, a timesheet doesn't measure that, and it's the number one characteristic of a successful accountant is interpersonal skills, your ability to communicate, your ability to listen, your ability to explain procedures. It's what doctors call a bedside manner, and no timesheet can capture the richness and textual feel of that. You just can't get it by looking at how many hours somebody spends. It tells you nothing about what they're doing. The clients say your aggressiveness, your interest in the customer. They also say they stick with accountants and pick accountants because of their ability to explain procedures in terms they can understand.